This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Okay, so the thing I wanted to bring up here, Tobes, with you, is the Cincinnati Bengals made news where a lot of people, a lot of pundits, a lot of bloviators like myself are going, well, they can't possibly do blank, and then they just did it. You know they've already paid Joe Burrow top of the market money, rightfully so, MVP candidate when he's healthy. This year, he put up video game numbers, and had they won a couple more games, might have won the damn thing. His numbers were stupid. In a year where some of the counting stats were down, they weren't for him. This is 4,900 yards. This is 43 touchdowns. This is, oh my God, jaw-dropping stuff. But their defense couldn't stop a cold, and they were mediocre, right, in a really tough division. So they paid Ja'Marr Chase top-of-the-market money that's going to kick in next year. They paid T. Higgins top-of-the-market money that's going to kick in next year. T. Higgins is making more than almost but a couple of wide receivers in the NFL. And Ja'Marr Chase is making more than any non-quarterback is ever going to make in the next decade or so. Now, he's a superstar. He's great. T. Higgins, very good. So you get what you pay for. But it brings up the essential question. And Tobes and I were kind of kicking this around. And here's what I want to do. I want you to try, if you're at home, if you're on the road, you're listening on the Odyssey app, anywhere in the world, I want you to try and take out an individual player. Okay, so I'm not saying, would you pay Joe Burrow? Would you pay Ja'Marr Chase? Would you pay Orlando Brown, their offensive tackle? Think about, in general, how would you build an NFL team? So I want Darius's answer. Tobes, I'm going to tag you in here in a second. But here's what I mean. The model that I've kind of thought of in my mind for easiest path, and there are going to be fluctuations. You still have to hit on draft picks. You got to make shrewd trades. You're going to have to let guys go at certain points. But where would you put your emphasis? I think we're all going to say quarterback, right? Duh. Okay, so no problem. You've got a quarterback, you pay him, you just live with it, whatever it takes. Are you paying wide receivers? Are you paying an offensive line to have the best one in the sport and just sort of getting away with rookie deal wideouts? Are you ever paying a running back? Are you paying defensive tackles? Are you paying cornerbacks? Are you paying defensive ends? The answer can't be we're paying everybody. That's not how the sport works. There's a salary cap. So what are you prioritizing? That's kind of the question. It's a little open-ended, but it's just a way to think about how teams are being built in an era where we're all competing for a limited amount of difference makers with finite resources.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes counterintuitive with you talk about the Bengals to what we've talked about all offseason, where usually when a team wins a Super Bowl, you think, how do you beat that team? Philadelphia, everyone saw that they won by the line of scrimmage, offense and defensive line, and yet you look at what they're doing in Cincinnati, and they're paying two wide receivers, sexy toys on the outside, right? Flashy, and they're probably going to trade an edge rusher, which is kind of counterintuitive, but they're going about it a different way. And so I think for me, the way that I would go about this, like we talked about quarterback, we understand that you got to have the quarterback, but I love building up a defense. I kind of like how Kansas City's done it, where they kind of just, they don't score a lot of points anymore with Patrick Mahomes. I think they want to change that. I think they want to get back to the high-flying act that they were with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce 5-6 years ago, and some of the guys being able to get down the field and do some of that stuff. But I kind of like the idea of saying first one to 24 wins. It's not first to 30, it's first to 24. And I would pay at corner. I want an elite guy because receivers are so good now. I need a guy. I mean, if you could, I'd love Darrell Revis, where I could just throw him out there on island. I don't know that there are a lot of those guys, but I want a dude that I can trust, that I can leave alone. Like, the game plan that they had for Marshawn Lattimore this year, talking about the Commanders, where you can just leave him on Mike Evans or just leave him on A.J. Brown, I'd like something like that, but actually effective.
I was going to say, the plan is good, but if he's more concerned about, anyway.
But, like, actually effective there. Mm-hmm. I'm paying at corner. I want a dude on the edge that is nasty and can get after the passer, that is going to draw double and triple teams, T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, those sorts of guys. I need a nasty dude like that. Ideally, I could pair that up with someone in the interior that's a little bit bigger, and then I'm going to spend on the offensive line. I need a stud left tackle to protect my quarterback. So I think if I were prioritizing, say, three positions outside a quarterback, my top three are going to be corner, edge rusher, and offensive tackle.
So two of your three are on defense, which is interesting. I don't know that that's conventional now, but here's the thing. We see this all the time with the league where, to your point, what's winning right now? And somebody will come up with whatever the new thing is going to be, and then everybody sort of either rushes to either copy it or beat it, and then a new thing emerges. So a handful of years ago, if you go back and just look at passing numbers, and again, I bring this up as part of the context of this conversation, everybody threw for four. If you played 16 games, you threw for 4,000 yards. The leaders in touchdowns are in the upper 30s and 40s. Aaron Rodgers throws for 50, and that's just what you're doing. Well, everybody's going, well, we got to stop that. What do we do? Enter new coverages. Enter two deep shells. Enter everything in front. Enter let's make Pat Mahomes dink and dunk and never blitz him so that he's got to go down the field and take 12, 13, 14 plays. It's the big strikes that kill you, right? So no big plays. Well, what's open when you do that? Yeah, passing underneath, but also handing the ball off. So you've got a running back renaissance now to a point where a couple years ago, someone like me is going, if you draft a running back before the sixth round, or if you pay one more than 11 cents, you're a moron. Well, that's not the case now. You can see the difference makers. Running backs change teams. Whether it's Jones or Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley, all of a sudden, free agent running backs are making huge differences for their new teams. Maybe it's a different time. So there's going to be something to rush to meet that now. It's, we got to stop the run. I'm like, am I in a time warp? Is this 1994? Right? Is that what we're doing?
Sure.
But that's what's going to happen. It's everybody kind of rushes to meet the new thing. So maybe you're ahead of the curve on this, right? Where you can play a certain style of defense. To me, anytime you can have one player that can take something away, or figuratively, nobody can take anything away, but you know what I mean? Where Deion Sanders back in the day took away whoever the best receiver was, he covered him. Now, the guy couldn't tackle, but you didn't give a damn.
No.
Because of how great he was in coverage. So now you're playing 10-on-9, really, when your quarterbacks aren't really running, and you can now dedicate more. You can put 7 in the box. You can put 8 in the box if you feel like it when you're betting big on a run. You can run certain coverages and the like. So your point makes sense if you can find one of those guys. What would I do? The axiom that I've kind of used, and Darius, I'll tag you in next, is everybody makes fun of this group because they lost to the Patriots a bunch of times, or they never, you know, they only I put only in parentheses, or quotation marks rather, air quotes, third time's a charm, won one Super Bowl. Now, nobody goes back and looks at the nuance that they're going to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC title game, but Ben Roethlisberger tripped up a guy that he threw what should have been a pick six to, and nobody called anything. People look past, the Patriots mugging people and knowing that half of them are going to get called, but the other half weren't, and they knew that was their way to slow them down because they couldn't physically stop them there in New England. These aren't excuses. It's just sort of what happened, right? So these Colts teams that won 15 games a year and are resting starters in week 16 or 17, to me, were this is the easiest path to build a contender every year. Now, it helps to have one of the five greatest quarterbacks ever to live. Duh. Okay, that's a given. Their whole deal was, we're going to be great at least one receiver, great at a secondary pass catcher, where you'd have to pay a premium. You got Dallas Clark, you don't have to pay him top of the market money. You might now, if you have a marquee tight end, like when it's the Raiders tackle Bowers. When Bowers hits free agency in 4 years, he's going to be making Jamar Chase money. But that wasn't the case then. But I'm going pass catcher A, pass catcher B, at least one star on the offensive line. And then the rest of my defense, 9 of the 11 guys, I'll do my best, but I'm going to have pass rushers. If you wanted to run the ball against those Colts teams, fine. Seriously, they didn't care because their offense was going to score. They were going to have a lead, and you're going to have to throw. And here comes Dwight Freeney on one side with a spin move. Here comes Robert Mathis on the other to hunt your quarterback. and they're going to have a ton of sacks, and that's my blueprint for beating you. You might get me. And they got a few times. Patriots got him. The Steelers got him. A bunch of teams lost to beat him in the playoffs. I know the story, right? But that to me was always kind of my, that's the easiest blueprint. That's, you got to get the fewest number of players right to win 12, 13, 14, 15 games a year. And once I do that, I've got a chance. That's health. That's if the kicker doinks one in or doesn't. That's a fumble goes your way. A tripping call either gets made or doesn't. That was always kind of my thought. But that was my sort of team building. And I know I named a bunch of positions, but I would try to find superstar wide receiver to go with my quarterback, superstar protector to go with my quarterback, and then always be thinking about a cheap apprentice, right? Whether it was a tight end, a pass catcher, a matchup problem, maybe it could be a slot guy, whatever it was, but somebody that didn't cost a top of the market money like my Hall of Fame receiver is going to, but someone else that's a viable option.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, I think your philosophy definitely makes a lot of sense. I think the way I would look at it, though, is I could do something like Matt LaFleur does in Green Bay, where they don't have a true number one, and I think I can get around it. Now, they haven't built necessarily the way I'm saying, but I think there's other ways around finding those elite pass catchers and finding what guys that I can scheme open. Now, to do it, I'm going to have an elite play caller designer as the head coach, because I can't lose that offensive coordinator every year.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of getting nasty guys off the edge that just get after the passer. I'm a little more worried about stopping the run than you are, because I still want to, like I was talking about, I kind of want to grind it out, mm-hmm. not high-flying indie back in the day where it was just a shootout every time. I want guys that are, we're going to play a little bit more down to earth, and we're going to limit possessions and play football the old way. But I do like, I mean, your sense of football is going to be awesome to watch.
It'll be fun. There'll be some points scored. I guess my thought, and Darius, I'll tag you in here, is the sustainable thing for a league that wants offense, I'll go with that flow.
Sure.
Instead of trying to fight the uphill, or you know, fight the tide uphill, or whatever that my analogy I just made up is. But you're smart in the sense that you're going to be in every game. If my offense isn't clicking, or if I turn it over, I get the doors blown off.
Well, and my thing is, if I can have corners, and I can have a guy that can get after the passer, I'm going to be able to load the box. And I don't have to worry about the pass game as much, because I'm going to trust Derek Stingley on the mm-hmm. outside one-on-one. And ideally, you have another dude on the other side. And you know they're going to find their ways to scheme dudes open, but I'm going to be so good against the pass that you're going to be forced to throw the ball underneath, and it's check downs and short passes and running the football. I'm never letting you go over the top.